Book 3, Chapter I. Dash after the death of Constantine the Great, the adherents of Eusebius and Theognis attack the Nicene faith. We have now seen what events transpired in the churches during the reign of Constantine. 1. On his death, the doctrine which had been set forth at Nicaea was subjected to renewed examination. Although this doctrine was not universally approved, no one, during the life of Constantine, had dared to reject it openly. At his death, however, many renounced this opinion, especially those who had previously been suspected of treachery. Of all these, Eusebius and Theognis, bishops of the province of Bithynia, did everything in their power to give predominance to the tenets of Arius. They believed that this object would be easily accomplished, if the return of Athanasius from exile could be prevented, and by giving the government of the Egyptian churches to a bishop of like opinion with them. They found an efficient coadjutor in the presbyter who had obtained from Constantine the recall of Arius. He was held in high esteem by the emperor Constantius, on account of the service he had rendered in delivering to him the testament of his father. Since he was trusted, he boldly seized the opportunities, until he became an intimate of the emperor's wife, and of the powerful eunuchs of the women's sleeping apartments. At this period, Eusebius, too, was appointed to superintend the concerns of the royal household, and being zealously attached to Arianism, he induced the empress and many of the persons belonging to the court to adopt the same sentiments. Hence disputations concerning doctrines again became prevalent, both in private and in public, and revilings and animosities were renewed. This state of things was in accordance with the views of Theognis and his partisans. Chapter 2. Return of Athanasius the Great from Rome. Letter of Constantine Caesar, son of Constantine the Great. Renewed machinations of the Arians against Athanasius, Acusius of Beria, war between Constans and Constantine. At this period Athanasius returned from Gaul to Alexandria. 3. It is said that Constantine intended to have recalled him, and that in his testament he even gave orders to that effect. But as he was prevented by death from performing his intention, his son who bore his name, and who was then commanding in Western Gaul, recalled Athanasius, and wrote a letter on the subject to the people of Alexandria. Having met with a copy of this letter translated from the Latin into Greek, I shall insert it precisely as I found it. It is as follows: Constantine Caesar, to the people of the Catholic Church in the city of Alexandria. 4. You cannot, I believe, be unacquainted with the fact that Athanasius, the interpreter of the venerated law, since the cruelty of his bloodthirsty and hostile enemies continued, to the danger of his sacred person, was sent for a time into Gaul in order that he might not incur irretrievable extremities through the perversity of these worthless opponents. In order then to make this danger futile, he was taken out of the jaws of the men who pressed upon him, and was commanded to live near me, so that in the city where he dwelt, he might be amply furnished with all necessaries. But his virtue is so famous and extraordinary, because he is confident of divine aid, that he sets at naught all the rougher burdens of fortune. Our Lord and my father, Constantine Augustus, of blessed memory, intended to have reinstated this bishop in his own place, and thus especially to have restored him to your much beloved piety, but, since he was anticipated by the human lot, and died before fulfilling his intention, I, as his successor, purpose to carry into execution the design of the emperor of divine memory. Athanasius will inform you, when he shall see your face, in how great reverence he was held by me. Nor is it surprising that I should have acted as I have done towards him, for the image of your own desire and the appearance of so noble a man moved and impelled me to this step. May divine providence watch over you, my beloved brethren. In consequence of this letter from the emperor, Athanasius went home, and resumed the government of the Egyptian churches. Those who were attached to the Arian doctrines were thrown into consternation and could not keep the peace. They excited continuous seditions, and had recourse to other machinations against him. The partisans of Eusebius accused him before the emperor of being a seditious person, and of having reversed the decree of exile, contrary to the laws of the church, and without the consent of the bishops. I shall presently relate in the proper place, how, by their intrigues, Athanasius was again expelled from Alexandria. Eusebius, surnamed Pamphilus, died, 1, about this period, and Acacius succeeded to the bishopric of Caesarea in Palestine. He was a zealous imitator of Eusebius because he had been instructed by him in the sacred word, he possessed a capable mind and was polished in expression, so that he left many writings worthy of commendation. Not long after, 2, the emperor Constantine declared war against his brother Constans at Aquileia, 3, and was slain by his own generals. The Roman Empire was divided between the surviving brothers. The west fell to the lot of Constans and the east to Constantius. Chapter 3-Paul, bishop of Constantinople, and Macedonius, the Pneumatomachan. Alexander died, 4, about this time, and Paul succeeded to the high priesthood of Constantinople. The followers of Arius and Macedonius assert that he took possession at his own motion, and against the advice of Eusebius, bishop of Nicomedia, or of Theodore, bishop of Heracle, in Thrace, upon whom, as being the nearest bishops, the right of conferring ordination devolved. Many, however, maintain, on the testimony of Alexander, whom he succeeded, that he was ordained by the bishops who were then assembled at Constantinople. 5, for when Alexander, who was 98 years of age, and who had conducted the episcopal office vigorously for 23 years, was at the point of death, his clergy asked him to whom he wished to turn over his church. If, replied he, you seek a man good in divine matters and one who is apt to teach you, have Paul. But if you desire one who is conversant with public affairs, and with the counsels of rulers, Macedonius is better. The Macedonians themselves admit that this testimony was given by Alexander, but they say that Paul was more skilled in the transaction of business and the art of eloquence, but they put emphasis for Macedonius on the testimony of his life, and they accuse Paul of having been addicted to effeminacy and an indifferent conduct. 6, it appears, however, from their own acknowledgement, that Paul was a man of eloquence, and brilliant in teaching the church. Events proved that he was not competent to combat the casualties of life, or to hold intercourse with those in power, for he was never successful in subverting the machinations of his enemies. 7, like those who are adroit in the management of affairs, although he was greatly beloved by the people, he suffered severely from the treachery of those who then rejected the doctrine which prevailed at Nicaea. In the first place, he was expelled from the Church of Constantinople, as if some accusation of misconduct had been established against him. 7. He was then condemned to banishment, and finally, it is said, fell a victim to the devices of his enemies, and was strangled. But these latter events took place at a subsequent period. Chapter 4-A sedition was excited on the ordination of Paul. The ordination of Paul occasioned a great commotion in the Church of Constantinople. 8, during the life of Alexander, the Arians did not act very openly, for the people by being attentive to him were well governed and honored divine things, and especially believed that the unexpected occurrence which befell Arius, whom they believed met such a death, was the divine wrath drawn down by the imprecations of Alexander. After the death of this bishop, however, the people became divided into two parties, and disputes and contests concerning doctrines were openly carried on. The adherents of Arius desired the ordination of Macedonius, while those who maintained that the Son is consubstantial with the Father wished to have Paul as their bishop, and this latter party prevailed. After the ordination of Paul, the emperor, who chanced to be away from home, returned to Constantinople, and manifested as much displeasure at what had taken place as though the bishopric had been conferred upon an unworthy man. Through the machinations of the enemies of Paul, a synod was convened, and he was expelled from the church. It handed over the Church of Constantinople to Eusebius, bishop of Nicomedia. Chapter 5. The partial council of Antioch. It deposed Athanasius, it substituted Gregory. Its two statements of the faith, those who agreed with them. Soon after these occurrences, the emperor went to Antioch, a city of Syria. 1. Here a church had already been completed, which excelled in size and beauty. Constantine began to build it during his lifetime, and as the structure had been just finished by his son Constantius, it was deemed a favorable opportunity by the partisans of Eusebius, who of old were zealous for it, to convene a council. They, therefore, with those from various regions who held their sentiments, met together in Antioch. Two, their bishops were about 97 in number. Their professed object was the consecration of the newly finished church, but they intended nothing else than the abolition of the decrees of the Nicaean Council, and this was fully proved by the sequel. The church of Antioch was then governed by Plastus, III, who had succeeded Euphronius. The death of Constantine the Great had taken place about 5 years prior to this period, when all the bishops had assembled in the presence of the Emperor Constantius. The majority expressed great indignation, and vigorously accused Athanasius of having contemned the sacerdotal regulation which they had enacted, for, and taken possession of the bishopric of Alexandria without first obtaining the sanction of a council. They also deposed that he was the cause of the death of several persons, who fell in a sedition excited by his return, and that many others had on the same occasion been arrested and delivered up to the judicial tribunals. By these accusations they contrived to cast odium on Athanasius, and it was decreed that Gregory should be invested with the government of the Church of Alexandria. They then turned to the discussion of doctrinal questions, and found no fault with the decrees of the Council of Nice. They dispatched letters to the bishops of every city, in which they declared that, as they were bishops themselves, they had not followed Arius. "For how," said they, "could we have been followers of him, when he was but a presbyter?" 5. "And we were placed above him, since they were the testers of his faith. They had readily received him, and they believed in the faith which had from the beginning been handed down by tradition." This they further explained at the bottom of their letter, but without mentioning the substance of the Father or the Son, or the term consubstantial. They resorted, in fact, to such ambiguity of expression, that neither the Arians nor the followers of the decrees of the Nicaean Council could call the arrangement of their words into question. As though they were ignorant of the Holy Scriptures, they purposely avoided all forms of expression which were rejected by either party, and only made use of those which were universally admitted. They confessed, 6, that the Son is with the Father, that he is the only begotten One, and that he is God, and existed before all things, and that he took flesh upon him, and fulfilled the will of his Father. They confessed these and similar truths, but they did not describe the doctrine of the Son being co-eternal or consubstantial with the Father, or the opposite. They subsequently changed their minds, it appears, about this formulary, and issued another, 7, which, I think, very nearly resembled that of the Council of Nice, unless, indeed, some secret meaning be attached to the words, which is not apparent to me. Although they refrained, I know not from what motive, from saying that the Son is consubstantial, they confessed that he is immutable, that his divinity is not susceptible of change, that he is the perfect image of the substance, and counsel, and power, and glory of the Father, and that he is the firstborn of every creature. They stated that they had found this formulary of faith, and that it was entirely written by Lucianus, 8, who was martyred in Nicomedia, and who was a man highly approved and exceedingly accurate in the sacred scriptures. I know not whether this statement was really true, or whether they merely advanced it in order to give weight to their own document, by connecting with it the dignity of a martyr. Not only did Eusebius, who, on the expulsion of Paul, had been transferred from Nicomedia to the throne of Constantinople, participate in this council, but likewise Acacius, the successor of Eusebius Pamphilus, Patrophilus, bishop of Scythopolis, Theodore, bishop of Heracle, formerly called Perinthus, Eudoxius, bishop of Germanicia, who subsequently directed the Church of Constantinople after Macedonius, and Gregory, who had been chosen to preside over the Church of Alexandria. It was universally acknowledged that all these bishops held the same sentiments, such as Dionysius, 9, bishop of Caesarea in Cappadocia, George, bishop of Laodicea in Syria, and many others who acted as bishops over metropolitan and other distinguished churches. Chapter 6. Eusebius surnamed Amsenius, Gregory accepted Alexandria, Athanasius seeks refuge in Rome. Eusebius, surnamed Amsenius, likewise attended the council. 1. He sprang from a noble family of Edessa, a city of Osroene, according to the custom of his country. He had from his youth upwards learned the holy word, and was afterwards made acquainted with the learning of the Greeks, by the teachers who then frequented his native city. He subsequently acquired a more intimate knowledge of sacred literature under the guidance of Eusebius, Pamphilus and Patrophilus, the president of Scythopolis. He went to Antioch at the time that Eustathius was deposed on the accusation of Cyrus, and lived with Euphronius, his successor, on terms of intimacy. He fled to escape being invested with the priestly dignity, went to Alexandria and frequented the schools of the philosophers. After acquainting himself with their mode of discipline, he returned to Antioch and dwelt with Plastus, the successor of Euphronius. During the time that the council was held in that city, Eusebius, bishop of Constantinople, entreated him to accept the see of Alexandria, for it was thought that, by his great reputation for sanctity and consummate eloquence, he would easily supplant Athanasius in the esteem of the Egyptians. He, however, refused the ordination, on the plea that he could otherwise only incur the ready hatred of the Alexandrians, who would have no other bishop but Athanasius. Gregory was, therefore, appointed to the Church of Alexandria, and Eusebius to that of Emesa. There he suffered from a sedition, for the people accused him of practicing that variety of astronomy which is called astrological, and being obliged to seek safety by flight, he repaired to Laodicea, and dwelt with George, bishop of that city, who was his particular friend. He afterwards accompanied this bishop to Antioch, and obtained permission from the bishops Plastus and Narcissus to return to Emesa. He was much esteemed by the emperor Constantius, and attended him in his military expedition against the Persians. It is said that God wrought miracles through his instrumentality, as is testified by George of Laodicea, too, who has related these and other incidents about him. But although he was endowed with so many exalted qualities, he could not escape the jealousy of those who are irritated by witnessing the virtues of others. He endured the censure of having embraced the doctrines of Eusebius. At the present time, however, he voted with the bishops who had been convened at Antioch. It is said that Maximus, bishop of Jerusalem, purposely kept aloof from this council, because he repented having unawares consented to the deposition of Athanasius. 3. The manager of the Roman see, nor any representative from the east of Italy, nor from the parts beyond Rome were present at Antioch. 4. At the same period of time, the Franks devastated Western Gaul, and the provinces of the east, and more particularly Antioch after the synod, were visited by tremendous earthquakes. 5. After the synod, Gregory repaired to Alexandria with a large body of soldiers, who were enjoined to provide an undisturbed and safe entrance into the city. The Arians also, who were anxious for the expulsion of Athanasius, sided with him. Athanasius, fearful lest the people should be exposed to sufferings on his account, 6. Assembled them by night in the church, and when the soldiers came to take possession of the church, prayers having been concluded, he first ordered a psalm to be sung. During the chanting of this psalm the soldiers remained without and quietly awaited its conclusion, and in the meantime Athanasius passed under the singers and secretly made his escape, and fled to Rome. In this manner Gregory possessed himself of the see of Alexandria. The indignation of the people was aroused, and they burnt the church which bore the name of Dionysius, one of their former bishops,